Good morning. How are you?
And good morning to you, Tony. Thanks very much.
Well, Lee, it's great to have you on the program. And looking over all the research that we did for this interview, you've been making music since the early 1980s. You've released more than 36 albums. You've had 35 singles on the Billboard Country charts. You've had many hits crossover into the top 40, Billboard Hot 100. It's just been a fantastic career for you. Did you ever expect a ride like this?
Well, when you start playing as a musician, you just want to make sure that you can learn some of the songs, and then developing as a player, and then a writer, and then a singer, was an interesting journey. Unlike some of the guys maybe from Texas or Tennessee or Georgia that had country success, I came from the West Coast, and maybe like Merle Haggard or Buck Owens, a few others, I kind of migrated to Nashville because it just seemed like it fit me better. It did take me a while. I spent almost 20 years in Nevada and learned entertainment through the casinos and the myriad of performers that worked there who had international success, and I watched a lot of them. I worked with a lot of them, and it was just amazing when I became my own act. I mean, I became on stage and came to Nashville and began performing.
What was the country music scene like in Northern California when you were growing up?
Pretty corny. From our perspective out there, I mean, until the release of Ray Charles' C&W album, and I think in the 60s, all we had was the Opry to listen to, of course, and our interpretation of that music was like everybody else, I think. And when you get further out away from Nashville, it gets a little more strange. And I mean, if you go to Europe, it's even stranger, where people still dress up in the old style of rhinestones and fringe and wear six guns and stuff. It's like they want to recapture the old West. And we never forget that, particularly here in Nashville, where I'm calling you from, where there's a tribute to give to the Opry and to the performers who started country music and gave us all success.
And your track to Las Vegas seems even more unusual. How was country music perceived in Vegas when you were playing?
A little hipper, actually. More like, I guess, any large venue that you come to, because we didn't have much of it on the Strip. I watched a few country acts. Ronnie Millsap came to town, Steve Warner, the Oak Ridge Boys, who I ended up working with at the MGM, and Crystal Gayle, Mel Tillis, and Dottie West. But I used to go out and see the acts at the Silver Nugget, which is out not on the Strip at all, but about 10 miles from it out on the Boulder Highway near the dam. And that's where all the country acts would come, and Sawdust on the Floor, and just more of a kind of a bar atmosphere. And it was pretty cool because the players were really very good. And I recognized a lot of them were a lot better than just what they were being perceived at as a 1-3-4 chord band, who just sang with a hiccup in their voice, and I got to be friends with a lot of them before I ever had my success. And so throughout the years, I would finish my gig on the Strip and then go out and play with them.
Lee, what's interesting, too, especially in this American Idol day and age where you win a contest and you get a record contract and you go out on the road, you really had an opportunity to hone your skills and to play with some really good folks, and it took a lot of time to do that. I thought it was pretty interesting in reading part of your bio how you came across a couple of musicians who you spent some time with, the Young Rascals. Talk about what happened there and that experience.
Well, as a performer in Nevada, I did a little bit of everything. I was a singer, dancer, musician, writer, you name it. And one of the gigs that I ended up playing was behind an act named Sandu Scott and the Scotties. And it was a performing act at the Desert Inn Hotel. And I was hired as a singer-dancer. No music, no writing, just to be, a pretty boy. And so wore my tuxedo, danced, and unbeknownst to me at the time, the organ player and drummer were both to be members of the Young Rascals. And they were backing up this act as well. And I guess they were on the road with her, and they were from New Jersey and New York. And so we kind of had this, like, this national band put together. The piano player, who they hired on in Vegas, was actually a good friend of mine, George Hernandez, who had become a mentor for me, a great piano player from Cuba, who ended up being Ed McMahon's pilot in his plane. But we all went to Puerto Rico together and then New York and spent some time there. And I actually worked with the guys for quite a bit, 3 or 4 months. And then it was wintertime in Hoboken, New Jersey, and I had engagements back in Nevada. And they asked me to play a small club for almost no money. And I said, guys, I don't think I can do that. And in about 3 months, they came out with their first record, Good Lovin'. So as I look back on that, of course, Dino and I are still keep in touch. And Felix Cavalier, the piano player, now lives here in Nashville, still writing.
So in 1979, Larry McFadden helped get your career underway. Talk about the start, how you were discovered.
Well, I got to be friends with Mel Tillis and his band leader, Larry McFadden, who was the bass player at the time, while I was playing the Nugget in Sparks, which is adjacent to Reno, Nevada, to put the geography right for you. And we not only became friends, but it was a conscious effort to say, we would like you to come to Nashville. Larry actually owned a publishing company with his partner, Ray Pillow, who was a Grand Ole Opry star and still is. And, I was like, well, I want to grasp anything that brings me success, because I've been in Nevada for a number of years and really hadn't had that kind of success. And I said, if it's going to be Nashville, well, I'll have to see it, because I'm an R&B jazz singer. And I said, I don't picture me in that genre. But it became easy to do. And although I don't play guitar, I play keyboards, and that served me well. But our first record, after we were introduced to MCA in Nashville, along with Reba McEntire, George Strait, the Oak Ridge Boys, and Barbara Mandrell, that was the stable at MCA. My first record, It Turns Me Inside Out, just went skyrocket and caused me to move to Nashville. So it was a long time waiting, but it was quick coming.
And then we talk about all the big hits, Somebody's Gonna Love You, Going, Going, Gone, Dixie Road, I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're a Rose, Don't Underestimate My Love for You, so on and so on. IOU, a big top five hit on the adult contemporary charts. It hit number 53 on the Billboard charts. All these great songs. Did you ever expect what happened to happen and to prolong it for such a long time?
Well, a lot of it just comes from hard work. Of course, my producer at the time, Jerry Crutchfield, and we produced 30 albums together, was insistent, as I was, on finding great material. And we kind of walked the path that was best led for me, and that was mostly ballads. You mentioned a few. Ring on Her Finger, Time on Her Hands was also a great ballad for us. She's Lying, another one written by Jan Crutchfield. And there were a lot of those early songs, 15 or 20 of them, like I Don't Mind the Thorns If You're the Rose, that all were like really great ballads for my voice. I got to show off a little of my range in She's Lying, which was on our first album. But I just, as we walked that path, we were an opening act for almost everybody in the business, and I worked with a lot of the old guard, which included Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette and Charlie Pride, the Gatlin Brothers, Kenny Rogers, Barbara Mandrell. And as we walked, that path, I just never really felt that I really had a hold on it. But after our third or fourth album, which was You Got a Good Love Coming, which went gold for us as well, I felt it was time to write the song that would identify my career. I had no idea that I was doing exactly what I anticipated doing, but at the time it was just another one of those songs I wrote. It was God Bless the USA.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, and we're talking with country music superstar Lee Greenwood. Lee, what I found was interesting and where everything kind of comes full circle was when you decided after more than a dozen years to settle down, be more with your family, and you opened the Lee Greenwood Theater, and all that work that you had did, playing keyboards, working in Vegas, all came to the forefront when you built this great show. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was an interesting endeavor. Kind of like if you were to go to Broadway, which doesn't usually last more than 6 months or a year. We decided to lease our own theater, or build our own theater and restaurant. And we were there for 5 years, 220 shows a year. And it really wasn't just a country performance. There was very little country music in it. It was all the experiences that I'd had in Vegas, a lot of off-Broadway stuff, a lot of on-Broadway stuff. Major songs from the past that we made productions out of. We had 10 dancers and singers, 8-piece band, full drops and sets and costumes and about 2,000 seats. So it's near Dollywood, if you guys are familiar with Gatlinburg. in Tennessee. That's like kind of the area, East Tennessee, near the North Carolina border.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an awful lot of work. We had two sons. I had one son born just before we went there, and another son that was born there while Kim and I had residence in the neighborhood. And we closed our theater in 2000 and moved back to Nashville so that we were back on the road again performing, which I was more comfortable with, to tell you the truth. After, it's kind of like you put a mouse in an ideal situation, and they really don't procreate after a while. It was just kind of got stagnant and stale in the theater, and it was an awful lot of work. So, and I don't really shy away from work, but I think it was just a matter of time that we put in. And I love being back on the road. I love creating and having new projects in front of me all the time.